morning, which is Stewart versus Estrue.
Good morning. May it please the court, counsel. I'm Marcy Goldblum on behalf of the plaintiff, Jennifer Stewart, in this case. The district court's denial of attorney fees under the Equal Access to Justice Act was an abuse of discretion in this case. And when we're looking at an abuse of discretion, the first place we need to look is the decision of the district court denying the EJIA fees. And here, we're actually not given a tremendous amount of guidance. The district court's decision is actually rather brief. But what does the court say? The court says that while the court did order remand, it did not make any finding in the order that the position of the United States was not substantially justified. That very, very rarely happens. I think that's really quite irrelevant. It goes on to say, in fact, a review of that order confirms defendant's assertion that the court rejected several plaintiff's claims of errors. That's argument counting. And as our courts have made clear, argument counting isn't an appropriate way to deny benefits, to deny fees under the Equal Access to Justice Act. And I believe defendant has agreed with me that argument counting is not an appropriate method.
And there's no debate here about the actual amount of fees that have been requested?
That appears to have been waived. There was no objection to the amount of fees. So the only issue is whether or not the defendant's position was substantially justified. And actually, an initial problem that we also have is that in the magistrate judge's short opinion regarding the denial of EJIA, he doesn't seem to indicate recognition that it's the defendant's burden to show that he was substantially justified. It's not plaintiff's burden. And in fact, I also wanted to point out that in this case, the plaintiff rather didn't really even have a chance to set forth her reasons for why the government wasn't substantially justified. She filed her initial petition for fees, the application. Defendant filed his response, his objections. Docket number 22 shows that plaintiff filed a motion for leave to file a reply to address those responses, and the same day she filed it, the magistrate judge denied her motion for leave to file a reply and then went ahead and denied the petition for EJIA fees. And really, let's get to the heart of why he denied the EJIA fees. The magistrate judge says, even as to the point argued successfully by plaintiff, the court did not and does not now feel that the position taken by the defendant commissioner of Social Security was not substantially justified. He also adds, especially when the entirety of the defendant's position is considered, which under Golombowski is not the appropriate view. Under Golombowski, I think the court made it clear that when you're looking at EJIA, you look at the reason why the court remanded the case, and you look to whether the commissioner was substantially justified.
So when you look at that, it seemed to me that really what this case boiled down to was the error of the administrative law judge that shows up on, it says every page is numbered, page like 8 of 8, 9 of 9, and so on. But this is page 15 where the ALJ says, this assessment of the claimant's residual functional capacity is slightly different than that which was determined by the state agency and is based on the record as a whole, including new and material evidence. Full stop. No explanation. That really, isn't that,
well, I think
the reason for the remand?
I think that was part of it. Mm-hmm. I think when you look at page 14 of the remand decision, which is also page 31 of the plaintiff's appendix, the district court says, plaintiff contends that the ALJ failed to include that plaintiff had moderate difficulties in maintaining concentration, persistence, or pace. The ALJ expressly noted in his decision that the plaintiff has moderate difficulties in maintaining concentration, persistence, and pace, and the finding was based on psychologist Brister's reviewing statement. However, the ALJ curiously left out this limitation when posing hypothetical questions to the VE. And then the court cites to this court's Kosarski decision says the court remanded the case when the RFC failed to include the claimant had frequent deficiencies of concentration, persistence, and pace, a finding made previously by the ALJ in his own decision. The court goes on to say, while the court in Kosarsky noted that there may be an explanation for the omission, the court stated that the ALJ's failure to incorporate the latter kind of limitation, fully supported by this record and the hypotheticals he posed to the VE, requires us to remand the case for further proceedings. And interestingly, as an aside, in Kosarsky, the government was found not to be substantially justified and EJA fees were awarded. But what we have here, you know, the EJA was what was enacted not just to attract attorneys to represent these people, but the other policy thing is that they wanted to encourage the commissioner to follow the court rules. So here, not only do we have the administrative law judge failing to follow well-established case law, but then the commissioner defended that. So that you have, when you're looking at both the pre-litigation position and the litigation position, we have that. And then, Judge Wood, as you pointed out, the district court in its remand goes on to say that additionally, the ALJ stated that based on the record as a whole, including new and material evidence, his RFC determination was slightly different than that which was determined by the state agency, but he never identifies the evidence in the record that warranted a different RFC. And the court goes on. The court doesn't just end there. The court cites the Steele case, quoting Dixon, saying that the ALJ must build an accurate and logical bridge from the evidence to his conclusion. This court has long held that. And so, again, we have well-established case law that wasn't followed. Under the EJA, in order to be found substantially justified, the government has to come forward and show that its position had a reasonable basis in both fact and in law. Here, they can't do that because when you fail to follow well-established case law, you then can't come forward and show a reasonable basis in law. And again, the court went on to say an ALJ may not simply select and discuss only that evidence which favors his ultimate conclusion, citing the Seventh Circuit's case in Smith versus Apfel. And I think, again, when you look at the EJA denial, which it's about three sentences, there's no case law cited. There's really the district court, the magistrate judge, doesn't explain why he really finds that based on, you know, the decision where he remanded because there wasn't adherence to well-established case law, how that then translated into his finding, a bare-bones finding, really, that there was not, that the government rallied, there was substantially justification. And when we combine that with the fact that the district court didn't seem to recognize that the burden of substantial justification was on the government and that plaintiff didn't have a chance to respond, there was clearly an abuse of discretion, and I'll save the rest of my time.
Counsel.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Ed Studinski. I represent the Commissioner of Social Security in this matter. Plaintiff has appealed the district court's decision that she was not entitled to any attorney's fees under the Equal Access to Justice Act because the commissioner's position was substantially justified. In order for plaintiff to prevail, plaintiff bears the burden of proving that the district court abused its discretion.
How do we know what the district court was thinking based on this sentence that appears at page 36 of plaintiff's appendix?
Well, Your Honor, we do see the district court's EJA decision. I'm presuming you're talking about the EJA.
I'm talking about this little, it's really a page. It goes over two
37.
Pages. But
exactly.
At 30, page 30, well.
35 and 6.
35 and 36, but 35 just is the wind-up, if you will. The court has carefully reviewed the record.
Well, although now that is not necessarily wind-up, Your Honor, in my opinion.
It is, actually, because we all understand that just because your position is rejected doesn't mean it wasn't substantially justified. But He just says, I don't think it was substantially justified, especially when the entirety of the defendant's position is considered. But what about the fact that the commissioner's decision to defend all through this was so flatly against our law? I mean, the law's been clear for a long time that an ALJ is not entitled to make a finding in one place of the opinion about limitations and then ignore those limitations in the hypothetical of the VE. It means,
Your Honor,
the VE is wasting, everybody's wasting their time.
I believe there are at least three questions there that were just asked. One was whether we can see what the district court found,
right,
whether there's enough articulation. And then there's the discussion as to whether or not or how severe the discrepancy was in the ALJ's findings with respect to moderate deficiencies in concentration, persistence.
Well, failing to include that.
Failing to include that. Whether or not that is, how significant of a deficit that is, and if that amounts to a failure to follow long-established case law that taints the entirety of the government's position such
that the
government is not substantially justified.
Right, and we can throw in also the many, many cases to the point where sometimes I wish we'd never used the metaphor about the necessity to build an accurate and logical bridge. I wish we could move
or
away
trace
from,
a path. Sometimes we trace a path.
Bridges to some other metaphor, but whatever. We certainly have said that a lot.
Now, I believe Cummings or Cunningham actually talks about connecting the dots. So there's another possibility.
Fine.
First, with respect to the minimal articulation, I acknowledge that this district court's decision is brief. I'll note, however, that opposing counsel has not identified any authority requiring any particular level of articulation in a district court's analysis of substantial justification.
But what I think your opponents are arguing is if one can detect legal error in the articulation that's presented, then it's not going to suffice. If the articulation is just a very economical way of expressing a correct decision, that's one thing. But what this articulation seems to contemplate is that you count arguments, especially when the entirety of the defendant's position is considered. Well, certainly the commissioner made some arguments that were accepted by
I disagree,
court.
Your Honor. With respect to, and that language, carefully reviewed the record, that indicates
that's
that...
That's boilerplate.
Your Honor, I...
Don't you think? Yeah, I mean, imagine the magistrate judge who's going to say, I just took a quick spin through the record. I mean, he's going to say, I carefully reviewed the record.
If it is to be presumed that the judge put that language in here for any reason other than just to stretch it from a page and a quarter to a page and a quarter plus a line, we're presumed that there was some meaning, that he actually did review the record. That indicates that he reviewed something other than just counting arguments in the briefs. That directly refers to the agency's pre-litigation position, which is described in the record. Now, that's not, and so that's why I differ with Your Honor's characterization of this as merely wind-up. But certainly,
it's just, you know, if you had been writing his order, maybe we would have seen what you're saying. But there's only so far we can go in terms of extrapolating from a sentence like, the court has carefully reviewed the record, including its own order. I mean, we need more help than that from the district court.
Then I also direct you to that other clause, which again is economical to say the least, is that when the entirety of the defendant's position is considered. That's exactly the language that's cited in all of the substantial justification law with respect to the EJA. They are to make one blanket determination considering the entirety of the commissioner's, of the defendant's position, not the litigation position, not the arguments, not argument counting. That, in that statement, the judge says that he did conduct the analysis he was required to. Moreover, I'll point out, as I said, plaintiff has not identified anything to require a minimal articulation level, and to the contrary, this court in Hallmark, I believe Judge Bauer was on the panel, expressly said that a brief statement of the district court's reasoning might be satisfactory in
suppose
some
the district
cases.
Court order just had the heading and it says order, and then it says plaintiff's petition for attorney's fees is denied, period, signed by the magistrate judge or the presiding judge. Is that good enough?
In a certain case, it might be enough. If there were an overly complex case, such as was the situation in Hallmark, with many, many issues and a lengthy, convoluted administrative procedure, no, it would not.
But you think that might actually be enough sometime. Just say denied.
I'm certainly not going to rule that out as a possibility. Because this court has, there is no precedent saying that there is a minimal articulation. And the question would be, is it sufficiently articulated such that this court can conduct a meaningful review to see whether or not the district court below, abused its discretion? I could conceivably envision a situation in which that were sufficient. That's not the case in this case. In this case, I submit, first of all, the underlying merits was not so convoluted and the ALJ's error was not so egregious as to require lengthy articulation, and so this economical articulation in this order is sufficient to permit this court to conduct meaningful review and determine that the judge did not abuse their discretion. I want to get into your further question about the merits, the distinction between the often limitations and the ALJ's specific articulation of this individual's residual functional capacity, which was, I believe, basic unskilled work, which did not involve continued contact with other people. If I may, Your Honor, I just want to point out the main point that I wish to bring out today is that plaintiff's argument does not sufficiently respect the requirement of substantial justification in the Equal Access to Justice Act. This was, of course, what I was desiring to argue on. To the extent that I can get to that later on, I would like to, but I just want to point out the cases that plaintiff cites. They cite Hensley v. Eckerhart. That's a civil rights case. That does not involve substantial justification. It's far different from the Equal Access to Justice Act. In our brief, we cited Cummings, Jackson, I believe Judge Kaney wrote, Golombewski, which Judge Bauer wrote, Cunningham.
Actually, we were writing for the court.
Which was authored the decision for the court. I apologize for misspeaking, Your Honor. These cases were all directly on point addressing substantial justification and the fact that in determining substantial justification, it is meaningful and appropriate for a district court to look to the arguments that were advanced on the merits litigation in order to determine whether or not the government's position was substantially justified. I wish to make clear the examination is whether the government's position was substantially justified.
And you agree you have the burden on that?
We do. But it is meaningful to look to those arguments because plaintiff and their counsel are in a uniquely positioned to identify the errors committed by the commissioner. In this case, the district court looked and said they raised several arguments, and the district court rejected those on the merits. They remanded because of one argument, which you were addressing with opposing counsel, and which I still intend to get to if I have a chance.
Nope, be very quick.
With respect to that argument, the district court looked at it and said that wasn't that bad. It was not an error that is of such a magnitude that it taints the entirety of the government's pre-litigation and litigation position. And my 10 minutes is up. It's now afternoon, and I haven't answered your question. I would be very happy to discuss.
You have your brief. Don't worry.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
You have 2 minutes.
Let me start by saying that Mr. Studzinski must have a much better imagination than I, because I can't imagine a situation in which a decision just saying denied would be sufficient. That notwithstanding, in plaintiff's reply brief, we certainly discuss all of the cases. But Golombowski, I think, is very important and is on point, because in Golombowski, that case was remanded for one issue, and each decision says we look to the reason why it was remanded and whether or not the commissioner was substantially justified with regard to that issue. Now, and you certainly look to both the pre-litigation and litigation conduct, but when you look here, we have a district court remand decision that makes clear that well-established case law wasn't followed. And then in the EJIA decision, that doesn't track. The magistrate judge says, I don't think it was that bad, but he doesn't explain how the decision where he points out how well-established case law wasn't followed, how that could serve as a finding that the government was not substantially, what was substantially justified. I think that the EJIA decision from the district court does not give the panel the ability to connect the dots, form an arc, a nexus, however you'd like to use that language. The bottom line is that the district court abused its discretion in finding that there was substantial justification of the commissioner's position. We're going to ask that this court reverse and remand to the district court for a finding of the amount of fees and that issue was waived by the government. Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. Thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement, and the court will be in.